So how many people here consider themselves to be Episcopalians? Yeah, good. Well, as an Episcopalian, by default, you're a missionary. Because well over 100 years ago, it was determined that the Episcopal Church was a missionary church, and all of its members are missionaries. Now, sometimes, as we know, and we often picture missionaries as those people who are sent to foreign lands. You know, if you look at the old movies, they're usually the people who end up in those very, very large cast iron pots. But a missionary is all who go out to proclaim Christ's good news. And so important is this that in our baptismal covenant, which we, of course, say in place of the Nicene Creed whenever we have a baptism and generally at some time during Eastertide, we are asked if we are going to proclaim the good news in both our works and in our words. And, of course, the answer to that is, with God, you know, yes, with God's help. Now, in our first letter to the Corinthians today, Paul talks about his reward for proclaiming the good news willingly. And the interesting thing is the reward for willingly going out and proclaiming the good news is becoming basically a servant to the good news. Because if we're going to go out to preach the gospel to other people, like Paul talks about, it's often necessary to meet those people where they're at. Often in the church, what we've called evangelism the last few years is this idea that we expect people to come to us and that they are supposed to, when they show up, just sort of fit into the mold we've already made here. But as true missionaries, we go out and we meet people in the places they're at. We try to reach them at wherever they are in their lives and to share our own stories and how our life with the Lord have made a difference in our life. And we also show them by the way we live our lives. In other words, that whole walking the talk. The message is so important, this good news, that this is why Jesus came, to share with others the good news. As I talked about in the past, I really like the Gospel of Mark. It's one of my favorite Gospels because, for the most part, it's short and sweet and to the point. We're not even through the second chapter, and Jesus has already been baptized, made it clear that he's here to proclaim the good news, which is to repent because the kingdom of God is on hand, and so we should repent and make our hearts ready and return to God. He's gone out and he's called his first disciples. And now, today, we talk about him doing all these healings. Now, it's easy to look at today's gospel and think that the point of it is to show Jesus as this great miracle worker. But I think more often than not, this ability to heal and to do various miracles as we see throughout Scripture has been at times becomes more of a hindrance to Christ's work than it does become a help. Because as we hear in today's gospel, after he's had all this wonderful experience teaching already at the synagogue, he comes home, Peter's mother-in-law is sick, he heals her. Next thing you know, the house is overran by other people looking for him to heal, looking for him to cast out demons, to make things right. They seem to have very little concern about the message he has to share, as it is that they want him to do miracles, to do things for them, to make show them wonders. And we see Jesus getting up early the next day, going off to his deserted place, praying. And when his I'm not even sure if we can even call Peter and Andrew and John and James disciples yet. They've just started. But these people he's called to follow him you know, they're hunting for him. And I'm sure everybody else in the village is too, because sure, they all have a long honey-do list for Jesus to take care of. And when they show up and they say, Jesus, what happened to you? Where are you? We're looking for you. He tells them, it's time to pack bags and get going, because I'm here to spread the message. And so we begin his journey in early ministry throughout Galilee, going from community to community to share the good news. At times, yes, he does do various miracles and he casts out demons. But as you see in this today's reading, he makes the demons stay silent on who he is, because he doesn't want people to get distracted from the message that the kingdom of God is at hand and that they should repent and turn towards God. Now, as I said earlier, we are a missionary church, and each and every one of us is called to follow Christ, to give our lives over, as we see with St. Paul and others that come before us, to share the good news, to allow people to know about this wonderful thing that we have found, to invite them to come join us in our worship and our praise, but most importantly, to show them that there is a better life. Sometimes that life isn't the most easiest. Sometimes it doesn't always make us happy. But there's great joy in the good news. As I've talked about before, and I will talk over and over, you know, we should never confuse being happy with being joyful. Many parents aren't happy. But about every parent I've ever met has been filled with joy about their children. You know, even when they've had second thoughts about their children. You know, most parents have a great joy about their child. And that's the way we're called in the church. We may not always find great happiness, but there's always wonderful joy here. And who are we to hide that from other people? In our colic and in our readings, it talks about, you know, God bringing a great light into the world. And that light, of course, is Jesus Christ. And instead of hiding that light or trying to dim it or make excuses for that light, we share it with other people. You know, as we talked about before, I like the old greeting card that we have the picture there in the back with all the names. The wonderful thing about a flame is that no matter how many candles you light from one flame, it never diminishes the original. And so no matter how many times you share the light of Christ with other people, it doesn't diminish in your own life. Instead, it makes it brighter, it brings more light, and it makes it a more joyful place. So my sisters and brothers, I encourage you, as you leave today, to go out following the examples of the early disciples and apostles and all those who have followed in their footsteps, and leave other people know about this wonderful, wonderful gift you've been given. Like Paul, to become servants of the word. To do whatever it takes to allow other people to know about Christ. To bring new people to the kingdom. And to share exactly what it is that you have found.